Let's talk spring planting and early season growing conditions. Let's head to Minnesota. Joining us now, Jeff Strock with the University of Minnesota Southwest Research and Outreach Center. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us on the show, sir. Hope all is well.
Oh, thanks, Jesse. I'm really excited to be on your show and look forward to talking about, crop production and where we're at and where we're going, and hopefully some bin buster yields again.
Absolutely. Well, I know we were chatting a little bit off air, just talking about, you know, how spring has been going so far. And I know you've been doing some traveling and checking some early emergence and more. We've had some frost to contend with in Minnesota, I know, here a little bit throughout the month of May. Get us up to speed just in general on what you've seen from producers here across your region of the state.
Yeah, no, thanks for that. Things have looked pretty good. Thinking about comparing last year and this year, we've got similar conditions where we had great planting conditions early on. Farmers got out into the field, they got started getting things planted, and we've had some cooler temperatures than last year, and that's kind of where we've seen the big difference. So emergence has been a bit on the slower side given some of those cooler temperatures. I noticed just from, say, the last 4 days from, like, say, Saturday to today, that all of a sudden, the beans have started emerging. You can start looking across cornfields and they're just starting to turn green. So things are really looking up. And, I know in our part of the world, we are on a little bit on the dry side, even though we've had a few rain showers come through. We haven't had any of those nice steady rains for probably about 3 weeks now. And, so we are definitely in the realm of needing a shot of rain, to kind of keep the crop moving forward. But, all in all, early season things are looking pretty good. So life is good here in Southwest Minnesota.
Well, thinking about, I've seen the drought monitor, of course, and you look at all the conditions up and down the plains, for instance, and you're starting to see a little bit of that dryness creep into the southwest part of Minnesota. But, there's been a lot of talk about this forecasted super El Nino and more, and just thinking about where we are with soil moisture, precipitation, et cetera. What are some things that producers need to think about here, especially in Minnesota as we get into the growing season? Just thinking ahead here as we look into the summer months and some of the potential weather challenges or the weather situation that might be out there, Jeff.
Yeah, no, that Jesse, that's great. When we think about this kind of stuff, and I've read the same things about Super El Nino, and for us here in the upper Midwest, the upper Great Plains, really, it really does reflect warmer conditions. It doesn't necessarily mean drier, but definitely warmer conditions. Every year is different. Every little El Nino that we get is going to be different. But right now, surface soil moisture, at least in southern, across most of southern Minnesota, we tend to be at the surface, the top 12 to 18 inches, a little bit on the dry side. We have not had any really good substantial rains for about 3 weeks. And so that could be a little bit of a concern. However, we know that there's pretty adequate soil moisture deeper in the soil profile, down that, 3-4 feet deep. And the beauty of it is actually really if we end up getting into this super El Nino and we get sort of hot, maybe a little bit drier conditions, we might have some of these short little periods where it might get dry. The drier surface conditions right now are actually probably going to help the crop. It's going to force those plants to look for water, and they're going to shoot those roots deeper into the soil profile to be able to tap into that deeper soil moisture. Now, if it rains, of course, those surface roots, there's such a density of them, they're going to take advantage of that water. But if we get some roots deeper into the soil profile and it does turn dry, the plants will automatically start using up some of that water. So it'll help carry them if we get into any hot, dry conditions later on in the summer. So this little bit of a dry situation right here early in the spring and early in the growing season could be actually advantageous for the crops and for the plants as we move into the growing season. So, you know, in that respect, the farmers really aren't going to need to do anything. The plants are going to do it all for themselves. Now, having said that, one of the things that, you know, people can think about, because really, unless you can irrigate, management now that the crop is in the ground is going to be pretty hard to look at trying to think of ways to conserve more moisture in the ground. And we usually typically do that with, you know, tillage management. So trying to leave adequate residue on the ground. A lot of growers in our part of the world are using strip till and some no-till practices. There's certainly, you know, a fair amount of other tillage that goes on, but those that have those more reduced tillage systems, more residue, really helps reduce evaporation of any of the soil moisture that's there. And I've done some work here too with some cover cropping. And one of the things that we also see with those cover crops is that where people are able to do them, that they're able to actually help store additional moisture in the soil itself. And then that residue from the, you know, the dead cover crops on the surface, that also provides a bit of a barrier for evaporation. So anytime we can kind of get more moisture in the ground and minimize evaporation, that's a really good thing.
We're having a conversation with Jeff Strock with the University of Minnesota here on today's program. I wonder about, you know, just general fertility management here as well. We get into the growing season. You never know necessarily what you're going to see for diseases, weed pressure, you name it, pests, etc. So producers always kind of got to have their head on a swivel a little bit, I would say, as they, you know, gear up and might have to, you know, adapt those plans, you know, with herbicides, fungicides, etc., those fertility plans overall. They may have to adapt a little bit on the fly depending on what they see this year, right, Jeff?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, you bring up really good points, because we know that, like, for example, you know, from a fertility standpoint, and, you know, nitrogen for corn plants, for example, you know, one of the things that's super important for growers, especially in areas that maybe, you know, rain is spotty and, you know, areas are getting, you know, maybe some areas are getting inundated and some areas are drier, that the farmers, you know, the easiest thing that they can do is watch the crop. Pay attention to the crop. Look to see, does it start to get that yellow tint to it? You know, because there is a window of opportunity. If all of a sudden the farmers think, you know, oh, I've run out of time to be able to get a soil sample. I mean, the ideal thing is to get a soil sample, say a 12-inch or a 2-foot soil sample, get that tested, see where their nitrates are. But, you know, the plant, you know, in emergency situations, the plant can give you an indication of where it's at and what it needs. And if it's starting to turn yellow and get those symptomatic nitrogen deficiency symptoms, you know, you can always get in and side dress. You know, if you really have to push it, you know, you might be able to aerially apply if it's still on a little bit of a wetter side. But, you know, using the plant as that metric, as your barometer to be able to say, okay, is it symptomatic of any kind of thing that we need to take corrective measures on? That's going to be really key. Of course, you know, with weeds and things like that, a lot of that, you know, is really going to be predicated on, you know, what kind of conditions are out there for the growers to be able to get in and, you know, put those crop protection products on. Does it get wet and all of a sudden we start to get a little bit of a situation where we might have some escapes and then they finally have to get in? And so much of that is just, you know, year by year and condition by condition, field by field. But crop scouting is going to be super important to be able to look for those things, and also later in the season to start watching for soybean aphids and other types of things like that, that farmers are going to be able to, you know, pay attention, talk to their agronomists, and then, you know, take corrective action where they need to. So,
Jeff, good thoughts. Anything final you'd mention or reiterate to folks here on the show today?
You know, not really. You know, sit back and do what you can out there. Pay attention to your crop and watch it grow, and make sure eventually you get that combine tuned up and ready for fall.
Absolutely. With that, Jeff Strock, Southwest Research and Outreach Center at the University of Minnesota. Thanks for joining us on the show and having an agronomic conversation with us. We appreciate the time.
You're welcome. Have a great one.